This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh my goodness! Town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan all over D.C. We are live in Richmond on AM 910 and FM 105.1 as well. You can listen to us wherever you are, coast to coast, on the Odyssey app. It's free. And it's available everywhere. You can also watch us on the stream right now and every day, the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. There are times in life when we see loved ones struggle, especially as they get older. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori & Murad can guide you through the process of managing health care or financial power of attorney, even securing a guardianship or conservatorship for a family member. Schedule a free consultation with their elder law and estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you a G&D. That way you'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Welcome onto the show, Noah Brown, Commanders wide receiver 2, and the gentleman who turned in one of the great plays in team history. 52-yard Hail Mary touchdown pass from Jaden Daniels ended up in Noah's hands in the end zone. And the Commanders were winners at home. They are now 6-2. So, Noah, when you get back to the locker room and you check your phone, how many missed calls, how many text messages were waiting for you?
Man, too many to count. Too many to count. My phone was kind of malfunctioning when I got back to it. But, you know, it's been crazy. It's been a blessing, and I'm glad we were able to get the dub.
I believe it. All right, so let's go back to the play. Terry gets the catch, goes out of bounds, 13 yards. You're at about midfield. I don't think you guys huddled at that point, correct?
Correct.
So what is said? I mean, does Jaden literally yell the words Hail Mary and you're not worried about the defense hearing it because they already know, or are there actual more words to the play than just Hail Mary?
Well, the play before the Hail Mary, we were already lined up in Hail Mary formation, and Jaden told me and Terry to run out routes to try and steal a couple yards, so we did that, and then got right back on the ball, and he just called, you know, regular Hail Mary, which isn't too different for us because, you know, most of our offense is no huddle anyway, so that's how the communication is. But, yeah, that's how it went.
All right, so we've heard from Terry in the locker room that there's more to it than just playing 500 in your backyard, right? You guys have this diamond formation. You're the back man looking for the rebound. Is there one set Hail Mary play that you guys have, or are there multiples? Like, do you have to call that variation, or is that the one you guys use?
No, I mean, there's multiple. Obviously, you know, you hope you're not in a situation where you need to use multiple throughout a season. But, you know, we're definitely prepared for more than one option.
Noah Brown of the Commanders joining us on Grant and Danny. All right, so you start running down the field. Do you notice as you're running that Tyreek Stevenson isn't paying attention and is looking in the crowd?
No, actually, I was unaware of that until after the game. You know, with the Hail Mary being such a long play, the ball snapped. I just put my head down and started sprinting to the end zone. But really, no vision of what was in front of me until I got to about like the 10-15, and I looked up and tried to get in position. But by that time, I think he was playing the play. But, you know, I didn't notice.
So you get down the field, you park, you turn around, and Jaden's still scrambling around. I mean, obviously, you're looking up at the board, and there's other ways you can kind of tell what's going on. But are you surprised at all as you get down there and plant your feet and look back toward the line of scrimmage, that Daniel's still holding the ball, kind of moving around?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, you know, when you think about a Hail Mary play or how you install it, the normal timing of it, the ball is probably on the way already by the time you get into the end zone. So it was definitely a little bit off schedule, but, you know, that's the kind of quarterback we have that can extend plays like that and give us a shot at winning the game, and it paid off.
When you get down there and now everybody's piled up, what's your coaching point?
Box out and try and get the best position that you can. You know, we have, kind of like Terry explained, it's a diamond formation. You know, one guy's responsible for jumping and trying to get his hands on the ball. The other three are responsible for, you know, if he doesn't make the catch, getting the rebound. So, you know, that's the position I happen to be in the back of the end zone. So, you know, that's how that goes.
So the ball lands in your hands. You had the most casual, nothing response ever. I mean, in the stadium, it's chaos. It's bedlam. People are going nuts. You just kind of acted like, I just found this thing. It's in my hands. I guess I'll walk to the back of the end zone. Why so calm?
To be honest, just blur of the moment, really. I don't even think when I first caught it and scored, it fully registered what just happened until after Terry had jumped on me. Then you see I start jumping around. It was kind of just a surreal moment.
Noah Brown on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. And then how about the chaos thereafter? What do you make of the way the crowd reacted and just really the scene at the stadium thereafter? I mean, that was 30-plus years of frustration for a lot of people. Plays like that not happening around here, all culminating in a moment that a lot of us will never forget.
Yeah, I mean, that's the type of thing you dream about as a kid, to be a part of a moment like that. It's definitely a blessing that I was able to be a part of it. But, yeah, I mean, that's a feeling. Just like the fans will never forget that I'll never forget being in that stadium and pulling out a tough win with my brothers and being able to celebrate that with them is something I won't forget.
Noah, that word, brotherhood, and you guys being together really is being thrown around a lot. And, you know, fans have seen so many different teams and heard so many different, you know, catchphrases or sort of themes from teams. This one really seems real. I don't have a better way to say it than that. You guys really do seem to be all pulling the rope in the same direction and together. How does that happen, and where does that come from?
Yeah, I mean, it comes from the top down. The leadership we have in this program is amazing, you know, from AP, DQ, and the leaders on the player leaders on the team. You know, I've only been here since a couple of days before the first game, and I can say for sure the brotherhood is real. You know, from the moment I walked in the door, I felt welcomed and, you know, excited to come to work every day. And things get done at a higher level when everyone's excited to do it and everyone's invested, and that's definitely the case in our building.
When you did get the call to come here, what did they tell you? What did they let you know just in terms of what your role was going to be, how they envisioned using you, and why do you think that was such a good fit?
Really not much was said about, you know, what my role would be or anything like that. It all kind of happened pretty fast, you know, on cut down day at the end of training camp. But, you know, just me knowing DQ from Dallas and, you know, we're from the same part of New Jersey, basically, about 10 minutes apart. I know a lot about DQ and the type of leader he is and type of program that he wanted to run. So, you know, I was excited to get over here and work with him.
I love that you were in the Houston building last year, because there is this comparison people like to make between C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels, and the fact that Jaden seems unfazed and in year one is kind of turning everything around in the building like Stroud did last year. What comparisons do you see between those two players? What do they both possess that have allowed them to have the kind of early success that they have?
Really, I mean, other than being two phenomenal quarterbacks, I don't think there's too much comparison. They really truly are their own person. And the most impressive part about both of them is their leadership, but they lead in different ways. But, you know, the way that Jaden is fully prepared for the game plan, knows what looks he's looking for, and, you know, when it's time to execute, you know, in the bright lights, he's unfazed and he follows through. So, you know, I've been blessed to play with two great rookie quarterbacks in my last 2 years.
No, I'd imagine one of the difficult things about being a receiver with a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, I of course couldn't imagine doing any of it. I'm very slow and unathletic. But if it was, you know, like you guys, knowing when to stop running the route because he's expanding the play or kind of staying alive, and turn to blocking, like instinctively, how do you sort of figure out when to do that if you're kind of mid-play, running around, trying to get open? When do you convert then to putting the hands on somebody?
Really, I mean, with Jaden, I know he gets a lot of credit for the runner that he is, but, you know, he's definitely running the throw first.
Totally.
You know, with him, I don't really turn and start blocking until he passes the line of scrimmage, until he no longer can throw the ball, because I know until that very last moment he's trying to. So, you know, just trying to work to get open to that moment, and then, you know, if he turns up field, fine, work after that.
When you leave Houston, a team that won a division last year and is a Super Bowl contender this year, and you're for a couple of days waiting on that call, and then you come to this locker room, how quickly did you realize this team was pretty good? And are you surprised that they're 6-2 good?
When I got here, I recognized the brotherhood pretty fast. And it starts from, you know, meetings early in the morning. You know, you got coaches 15 minutes before meetings started jumping around, yelling, blasting music, just getting everybody excited about coming to work. And I know what that can do for a program and what that can do for just a day in general. And you stack good days, and before you turn around, you know, you've improved a lot. So I'm definitely not surprised by, you know, where we're at right now.
Tell us about Cliff Kingsbury's offense and the fit and kind of the ideas and schemes as you're kind of going each week with game plans, as it looks like he's putting on a masterclass at this point of getting guys open, and the running games have been outstanding.
Yeah, no, Cliff's been amazing. His offense is very simple for the players. You know, it allows you to go out there and play fast. There's not a lot of, you know, mandating that you must do this, must do that. It's all based on timing, get to this spot at a certain time, and that allows players to be themselves and to, you know, do the things that they've done to get them to this point without worry. And I think that's the big thing with Cliff, is just playing fast and without worry.
Commanders wide receiver Noah Brown turned in one of the great plays in the team's history, the first ever walk-off final play on regulation win for a really proud organization with 3 Super Bowl titles. Joining us here on G&D. Before we let you go, a couple of things just to get to know you a little better, let the audience get to know you a little better off the field. What are your interests, your main hobbies, things you care about away from football?
I say away from football, I'm big into fashion, love food, very greedy off the field, and video games. So those are 3 things that I do pretty consistently off the field.
What games are you playing right now?
Madden 2K, new Call of Duty just came out, so yep. Hopefully I'll get some time to play that. But, you know, those are the things I like to do.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Are you a, you know, headset on, some poor strange kid thinks he's walking in with a good set of competition and you let him know? Like, are you a little bit nasty talking trash?
Oh, yeah, I'm a competitor now. Yep. So, you know, I'm trying to win, and I'm going to let you know about it when I do win. So, you know, it's a lot of fun.
So let's say because you're into fashion, you got to give us then the best and worst dresser on the team. When they try to dress up, who's the best, who's the worst?
Oh, that's tough. I'd say I'm pretty impressed with this. This is probably the best dressed team I've been on. I'll give best dress, excluding myself, I'll give it to Juice, Ben. I'll give it to Ben.
Ooh, BSJ can dress a little bit, okay.
Yeah. I'll definitely give him that title. I'll keep my mouth shut on the worst, you know.
What does it rhyme with?
I have no idea. I'll let y'all decide that.
You don't want to throw anyone under the bus. You mentioned food. So what's your favorite cheat meal?
Ooh, that's tough as well. I love Caribbean food. So oxtails, rice and peas, stuff like that.
Is there, like, give me your ultimate feast. Like, you're going to sit down, death row style, one last meal. You can pick and choose whatever you want. What goes on that plate or multiple plates?
Yeah, probably just what I just said. Oxtails, rice and peas, a little mac and cheese.
Yep.
You can go collard greens or cabbage, either one. But that's the perfect plate to me.
Well, hopefully you had a feast to celebrate after the Hail Mary completion, the 52-yard touchdown. It's a moment many of us will never forget.
So cool, man.
Thank you for it, and thanks for what has been a great start to the season. We're happy to have you here in D.C., Noah.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys for having me on.
Noah Brown, yet another addition that it looks like this front office got right. Remember, Adam Peters gave a lot of praise to Lance Newmark for the Noah Brown acquisition. Said it was a guy Lance had been very high
That's
on.
That's right, yeah. Good
advocated
memory.
For. So he's the assistant GM. Him and Peters striking gold. And Noah Brown pointing out that the relationship previously that he had with Dan Quinn was obviously a factor. Quinn and him were in the building together in Dallas at one point in time. It is Tuesday on GND, which means Commanders Survivor. There are just 10 players left on Commanders Survivor. And not surprisingly, a lot more players on the offense still remain hoping to win Survivor this year. A bunch of guys have been booted off on the defensive side. So let's get to it on a Tuesday. The several-year tradition of Commanders Survivor on GND. In fact, 10 years of show.
That's right.
10 years of Survivor on this program. So Brian Robinson's immune again. He actually has gotten immunity more this year than any other player. So you cannot vote him off now that you would. On offense, you can vote to send someone home or give someone immunity. Here are your options.
Jaden Daniels, quarterback. You may have heard of him. Brian Robinson Jr., he's immune, so no voting for him this week. Austin Eckler, Terry McLaurin, Brandon Coleman, Sam Cosmi. That's on offense. On defense, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, Jeremy Chinn, and kicker Austin Siebert or Seibert? I've been going back and forth. I think Seibert.
Have you?
Seibert?
Seibert.
Siebert?
He's been here too many weeks.
Siebert?
You've heard his name too many times.
Because I have a friend of the Siebert family.
Okay.
And it's spelled the exact same.
Got it.
That's on me. That's a me issue.
We're looking for Austin Seibert.
Seibert?
There.
Cybertron?
He's not going home, I don't think, although he did miss a kick.
No.
I thought it was blocked. Doesn't sound like it was blocked. It was a bad miss.
Ground block, that I
guess. The guy's had two misses all year and is leading the NFL in kicks made, despite not kicking in week one. So I have a hard time imagining he gets sent home. Wagner and Louvu were really good. They're not going anywhere. Chinn was not as noticeable, but has played pretty well the last several weeks on defense. On offense, Daniels, Hail Mary, pretty good otherwise. Eckler was quiet. He's on the show today, by the way, at 5 o'clock. Had the long 29-yard run before halftime. Did some good things in pass pro. McLaurin was tremendous. I think he is a immunity candidate.
Good candidate there.
5 for 125 at a 61-yard snag. Brandon Coleman got a concussion.
And that stinks in more ways than one for our little Survivor game. But that's who I voted off. Not because you did anything wrong, but we're at that stage where a 6-2 team doesn't have a lot of villains. You know what I mean? There are no Emmanuel Forbeses left to vote off here, right? It's a bunch of good contributors.
He barely played.
Yeah.
I get it. Well, I should say he didn't play.
He was DNP, right?
Yeah, he was inactive in the game. He got the concussion 2 weeks ago, as I think about it, because Lucas was the full-time left tackle until he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went to Trent Brown down the depth chart, who's really just a receiver anyway. Remember, he caught the touchdown.
That's right. That's a great pass catcher.
Against the Bengals. And then Sam Cosmi did it of a penalty. But yeah, Coleman not playing is probably in trouble. But you can go vote facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Give somebody immunity. You could save Brandon Coleman if you want. And send somebody home. Boot them off the island. It is GND. We'll give you our fastest 16 minutes in football. All of the games from the weekend that was in the NFL. We'll fly through those next on The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We're taking you up to 6:30. We're giving away Caps tickets in a half hour at 4. We've got Austin Eckler on the show in 90 minutes at 5. Let's spin you around the NFL after the weekend that was. Our first look back at all the action, our fastest 16 minutes. Now, we normally do this at the top of the hour right at 3 o'clock. Noah Brown came on at that time, so it's really going to have to be the fastest 11 minutes. Slightly smaller segment here, but let's get after it. We'll breeze through these games. The Bengals were leading the Eagles most of the way. I was busy at the stadium, and so I didn't even realize until after that the Eagles had come back and blown them out. 37-17, maybe they got right in the second half of this game. Saquon Barkley ran for 108. Jalen Hurts breaks out for 235 and a touchdown through the air. Devontae Smith had a 45-yard touchdown catch for Philadelphia. For the Bengals, they're 3-5. They basically have to go 7-2 the rest of the way to have an opportunity.
There's your summary right there. Philadelphia kind of finally found their stride, both offensively and defensively. Jalen Hurts had 3 rushing touchdowns and threw for 1 as well. Philadelphia looked awesome down the stretch of that game.
The Cleveland Browns behind Jameis Winston. beat the Baltimore Ravens. Any given Sunday, game of the weekend here. There's always going to be one of these in the NFL. Winston nearly threw a game-losing interception that was dropped by Kyle Hamilton, and then moments later threw the game-winning touchdown, snatching victory out of the jaws of defeat. 334-3 for Winston. It's almost like going away from Deshaun Watson was a good thing for the Browns.
Yeah, so the Ravens got the bad end of this. This is a scheduling type of faux pas. Like, if you played them a week ago, they'd have blown them out. But they played them this week, and you get the, we're free of Deshaun Watson. Oh, my God, I'm having so much fun. And welcome to the Jameis Winston experience, by the way. Next week, it'll be three touchdowns and seven picks or two fumbles, and, you know, he'll eat his fingers or something. But it's a wild ride when that guy plays quarterback.
Watson does have a torn Achilles tendon, I should point out. So don't want to kick him while he's down. But it was just very apparent.
Yeah, it's obvious.
He was the biggest issue.
They're thrilled to not have him be their quarterback.
With that team. Let's go to Detroit, where the Lions were home winners 52-14. Jared Goff threw for 85 yards, and the Lions scored 52 points. This team is a wagon. They are great on special teams. They run the heck out of the ball. Jahmyr Gibbs, 11 for 127. David Montgomery, 9 for 33 and a touchdown. They've got great weapons. Laporta, a touchdown. Khalif Raymond, a touchdown. Their second tight end, Brock Wright, caught a touchdown. Amon-Ra St. Brown caught a touchdown. They have, week to week, running backs throwing touchdowns, tackles catching touchdowns. Ben Johnson alert. The Lions, a juggernaut.
Jared Goff threw for 85 yards in the game. In a game which they scored 52 points in. Tells you everything you need to know right now. Detroit right now is probably the best team in the NFL.
Texans survived the Colts. Anthony Richardson, 10 for 32 passing. He has been benched today. He did run for 45 yards, but he ran too much because he took himself out being tired. Joe Flacco going to be the starter moving forward for 4-4 in Indianapolis. They're a half game back of playoff contention. Meanwhile, the only winning side, the Texans just haven't quite been right in the passing game. Stephon Diggs, 5 for 81, led them in this game, tore his ACL, out for the rest of the year. Dalton Schultz went for 52. Tank Dell, 4 for 35. Joe Mixon out of the backfield, 4 for 32. Mixon also ran for 100 yards and a touchdown. C.J. Stroud and Houston, 6-2. That defense is good.
Yeah, these two teams play each other close, but Houston's gotten the better of them two times. Opener of the season, and then here most recently. For the Colts, they just made, obviously the big move to bench Anthony Richardson. They're better when Joe Flacco's quarterback. It's more downs. It's more Pittman. It's more everybody else. So the Colts still have a chance, though. They're not dead.
The frontrunner for coach of the year right now, as of this weekend, is Dan Quinn, our own head coach here in the nation's capital. One guy I would say that is every bit as deserving is DQ. Matt LaFleur, who got yet another win with Jordan Love on the sideline. Love, 14 of 22 for 196 with a pick. On the sideline after injury, looks like he avoided a very serious groin injury. Still problematic. Here comes Malik Willis, who they went 2-0 when he was starting. He comes in, goes 4 for 5 off the bench, throws a touchdown pass. Josh Jacobs runs for 127. Willis ran for 23, including a 20-yard carry. And the Packers lead and then get past the Jaguars late. Fell behind, came back into the game, 30-27. They win at the horn. Brandon McManus, who Washington cut, has had two games in Green Bay, and he's kicked game-winning field goals at the gun twice.
So these are kind of survival games for Green Bay. They've done that a couple times. It's, you know, you could choose to interpret it one of two ways. It's, hey, they're letting Jacksonville hang around, and that's not that impressive, and it took something pretty big to finally end up putting them away. Or we don't have our best, and we're still going to find a way to win the game. It's either beholder-type stuff for them, but Green Bay's a pretty complete team. They're good.
The Dolphins led 27-18 with 12 minutes to play and Tua back. Looked like they were headed for 3-4. And then they dropped the game. 28-27, a thriller in Arizona. The Cardinals get a touchdown from James Conner with 8.5 to play, and then a Chad Ryland 34-yard game-winning field goal to win the football game as time expired. Kyler Murray, 2 touchdowns, 307 yards. Trey McBride is one of my favorite players in the
Baller.
League. Young tight end, 9 catches, 124 yards. Marvin Harrison Jr., the rookie wideout, big game for him, 6 for 111 and a score. Arizona handed the ball to James Conner 20 times, just 53 yards. He did have a touchdown. Welcome back, Tua. 234 and a touchdown without a pick. They got Hill going a little bit more, 6 for 72. Still a quiet Jalen Waddle day, 4 for 45. Something's not right in Miami.
I don't know what it is about their offense, right? I've watched a lot of this game, whether it be a red zone or, you know, kind of flipping around, and you just can't quite figure out why it doesn't look the same, right? All the weapons are there. Devin Achane is
blazingly fast. They find a way to get him the ball in space. You still got the ultimate deep threat in Tyreek Hill. Jaylen Waddle's a badass who they barely use. You just kind of can't quite figure out what they're doing or why it's not working, but bad loss there. They had Arizona dead to rights.
Speaking of bad losses, the Jets lost to the Patriots.
Gross. Shut it down.
They're both 2-6. Where's the detonator? Blow it up. It's not working. Aaron Rodgers was okay. Threw for 230 and a couple touchdowns, no picks. But okay is not buttering the bread at this point. They lose to New England 25-22. A Ramondre Stevenson one-yard touchdown with 22 seconds left. The difference in the ball game. The Jets were 4-4 last year with Zach Wilson at quarterback. They are 2-6. Aaron Rodgers has the longest streak of consecutive games without throwing for 300 yards. They built the entire organization around him. They have done everything he's asked. They are 2-6. Juxtapose that with the Packers and the spot they're in post Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. Patriots gross. Ramondre Stevenson, 20 carries for 48 yards. That's 2.4 a pop.
Drake May
in the win.
Had a really nice touchdown run. Left this game with a concussion.
Yeah, banged up in this game. So it was Jacoby Brissett out of the bullpen. But I don't have how to say this otherwise. The Jets should be ashamed of themselves. Like, that's so bad.
Falcons, Bucks, Atlanta, big time win. They now have 2 wins over Atlanta, over Tampa, who they're a game up on in the standings. So they'll have the tiebreaker in the NFC South. Looks like a 2-horse race. This was Kirktober. Kirk Cousins in this month just lights it up. Think about his 2 games against Atlanta in the last few weeks. 9 touchdown passes and about 800 yards over 2 games. He threw for 276 and 4 scores. Kyle Pitts had a couple of touchdowns and 91 yards. Darnell Mooney, a touchdown, 86 yards. Bijan Robinson ran for 63. The Falcons hanging 30 on the road in Tampa.
So this is one of those where you'll never be able to predict sports accurately. You go, okay, Tampa Bay, they're without Chris Godwin. They're without Mike Evans. What are they going to do? They'll really struggle on that side of the ball on offense. Wrong. Cade Otton, 81 yards and 2 touchdowns on 9 receptions. Mayfield threw for 330 and 3 touchdowns. It was their defense that couldn't stop anybody. Who knew? That was the group that you figured they'd lean on. They couldn't. Credit to the Falcons for winning that one on the road.
The Saints are terrible. They're 2-6. It's only a matter of time, it feels like, until they make a coaching change.
Yep.
The Chargers beat them 26-8. Justin Herbert threw 2 touchdowns in this game, both to Ladd McConkey, who went for 111 through the air. The rookie from Georgia had 6 catches on 6 targets. J.K. Dobbins, 17 attempts, barely over 3 yards per carry, but he did score a touchdown. Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener, Taysom Hill, all threw passes for the New Orleans Saints in this game.
New Orleans is gross. Remember, they scored 46 a game for 2 weeks, and since then, they've been one of the worst teams in the NFL. That's my summary.
That'll do it. Bills all over the
woodshed.
Seahawks, 31-10. Seattle was great last week in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
They were terrible at home in this game. The Bills might just be really, really good. They can run the ball. James Cook, 111 and 2 scores. They can throw the ball. Josh Allen, 283 and a pair through the air. And Keon Coleman's coming on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw his touchdown catch. It was pretty.
Grown up.
5 for 70 and a sixer for Keon Coleman out of Florida State, the wide receiver they drafted early. They also had a big game from Khalil Shakir. 9 catches, 107 yards. Amari Cooper was 2 targets, 1 catch, 3 yards, kind of a non-factor.
Yeah, they've kind of remade themselves on the fly here. I love it when teams do that, when organizations have to do it. Centered around Josh Allen, they've gone from, we're going to sling it a million times to, we might smack you in the mouth a little bit. James Cook is downhill, 111 and 2 touchdowns. You referenced it. They're all of a sudden converted to a power team, right? Big, powerful receiver in Coleman, power running game. Josh Allen is about power, and he still hasn't thrown a pick, I don't think. Maybe he threw his first one in this game, but they are pretty damn good and not getting a lot of attention.
Did you see what Sean Payton had to say about the Panthers? The Broncos beat Carolina 28-14 in Denver. Broncos are 5-3. Panthers are 1-7. After the game, Sean Payton said, when asked about his offense, or his defense, playing so well, he's like, well, we played a really bad offense. He's like, I told them all week, this is a bad offense. I'm not going to be that excited or not going to go too crazy if we don't allow many points. He said, we should have finished the game better. We had them right where we wanted them. They scored a late touchdown. We should have held them to 7 points. But he made no bones about
how bad the
Panthers' offense is. I thought this was a really good game for Bo Nix. There's a lot of people chirping about him and if he's any good. He threw for 284 and 3. They made it work. Cortland Sutton had a 28-yard completion in this game. They had a fake punt. Their punter threw a 3-yard pass in this game. They got creative when they needed to. Sutton went for 100 through the air. Nice touchdown pass to Troutman downfield who made a nice catch for Bo Nix. As good as he's been this year. the rookie quarterback.
Yeah, kind of a no-frills game for Denver, right? You're just so much better than the opponent. You just, you know, do what you have to do and get on the plane. But
they're sneaky okay.
That's
5-3.
Literally what I was about to say. They are sneaky okay. They usually start terrible. Remember last year Washington caught them. They were 0-2, looked terrible. And then they finished kind of in the playoff hunt. They're a weird 5-3 in second place in that division.
Remember, Sean Payton. He wins. I mean, this is a successful guy, and I haven't forgotten, although it doesn't matter anymore, that supposedly one of the ownership groups, don't know which, but maybe it was the Hogs, had reached out to him at one point. Remember he said that
publicly
about possibly coaching in D.C. Here we are now several years later. He's in Denver, and he's doing a good job. The Chiefs beat the Raiders 27-20. I think a lot of people thought this would be some monster blowout for Kansas City. The Raiders had a couple players making fun of Patrick Mahomes with a Mahomes doll at training camp. Mahomes said, we'll handle that when we handle it. I don't know if it got handled or not, if this was the handling it. But he did throw for 260 and a couple of touchdowns. The Chiefs win again by 7 points. They're 7-0. Travis Kelce bounced back.
Mm-hmm.
He's been so quiet for much of this year. 10 grabs for 90 yards, which tells you a lot, too. As long of 25. So otherwise, it was like 9 catches for, you know, less than 70 yards for him in the game. But they did have a touchdown catch by Kelce, touchdown catch by Xavier Worthy. Kareem Hunt has become a bell cow.
There you go.
From not on that team to getting 20 carries a week, he rushed for a touchdown.
Couple things surprising. I think Kansas City's defense is among the best in the sport. They allowed the Raiders to move the ball and score more than you would have thought in that game. That's number one. And number two, I don't know that Kansas City has that blowout gene in them. You look at their results, New Orleans is playing as poorly as anybody. Kansas City beat them by 13. That's not nothing, but it's also not the 50-5 type that blowout that you think you're getting from them. They just win games very calmly and do what's needed, but I don't know that they have that blowout gene in them. Maybe I'm wrong.
Totally agree with that. Finally, Sunday Night Football, the 49ers all over the Cowboys. Score didn't really indicate it, but it was a 27-10 game going into the fourth quarter. Final 30-24. Dak did the thing he's been doing, where he's not very good much of the game, and then, you know, at the end of the game puts up a bunch of numbers. CeeDee Lamb, 13 for 146 and 2. That is a monster fantasy day.
Oof.
He's individually winning people fantasy games this week. For the winners in San Francisco, Brock Purdy didn't turn the ball over. A week after 3 picks and a loss, no picks. Their rookie running back, Ivan Guarendo, went for 85 and a touchdown. Brock Purdy ran for a score and 56 yards. And on National Tight End Day, have a day, George Kittle. 6 for 128 and a tutty.
It's super fun to go up against both Kittle and CeeDee Lamb in a big money league, which happened to me. But yeah, so whoever, if you play running back in San Francisco, you're probably hurt at this point. So it just shows you what their running game is about. Scheme, design, getting people off balance and finding guys that fit their deal. And Guarendo's just the latest. He'll run for 7 yards a carry next week, probably.
Fastest 16 today was more like a fastest 12.
We did it, though.
But there you go. Everything you needed to know about the weekend in the NFL on Grant and Danny. Next, our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Our double plays driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Each and every day, we give you a little glimpse into our lives, nothing to do with sports. Danny, the double play for me today?
Mm-hmm. It's a big one.
An update
on
a saga on the program from last week. So I've got to get everybody up to speed as succinctly as I can. For those of you that weren't listening last week when I talked about this, I went and got a haircut at an undisclosed location from an undisclosed person, okay? She was a very attractive lady. She was very sweet. Mm-hmm. It came up over the course of her cutting my hair that she is new to the area. She came here because she had some family in the area.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't really know many people, and she's basically said something along the lines of, yeah, I'm trying to figure out where I should be going, what's fun, what I should be doing.
Sure.
If I were a single person, she's the kind of person I would want to show around town.
Well, there you go.
Luckily for me, I'm a married man who's in love with his wife and has children.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got friends who are single people.
There you go.
And so rather than saying anything to her and making it inappropriate and or uncomfortable, she's at work, she's cutting my hair, I just kind of filed the information away, and then I texted a couple of my buddies after, not on the same group text, but like both of them are single, and I'm like, hey, you should book an appointment at this place with this person. Here's the link, and good luck. You know, that was kind of the extent.
God bless, yeah.
So on the air, I brought it up to ask you, did I do anything wrong? Was that awkward?
Yeah, not at all. In fact, this is Stockton and Malone. It's my favorite thing. I am so happy. But I also know that thrill and excitement of the new. And if I can't experience it, I would love for those close to me to experience it.
Right.
I love assists. I just want Chris Paul with DeAndre Jordan and company, Blake Griffin. I'm just looking for that oop. I want slams.
You want Tyreek Stevenson to Noah Brown.
There you go.
You want to tip that ball up to be caught, right?
You get it.
Exactly. So I get a text on Friday from one of the two gentlemen that I sent this information to.
Oh, I like it.
It's a screen grab of a photo. It is a website booking appointment confirmation that he would be there in the seat yesterday to get his hair cut by this young lady. Similar in age to us. He's a good-looking guy. He works out all the time. He's got muscles on muscles.
He hates bread. Think about hating bread.
He's got a V-taper.
Hates it.
Like, whoa. So, I was very excited.
Sure.
I thought, this is happening. 1 week from now, first date. 1 month from now, couple. 6 months from now, I got to prepare my speech for the best man thing. Like, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Kids in a year. So, I meet up with him yesterday after the appointment. He had an appointment. He got his hair cut. Most of the time, if I ever give him like a, hey, this is something I think that would be interesting, or this is someone you should talk to, we don't see eye to eye on the person. So I thought there was a small chance he was going to big time me, Danny, when he showed up and kind of no-sell me a little bit, like, you overrated or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He did not do that.
Oh.
He was extremely intrigued.
Uh-huh.
Thought she was gorgeous. Thought she was very pleasant. Thought she was a catch. But he says to me, I didn't ask for her number. He chickened out. He went there, way out of his way, not near where he lives, got his hair cut, but then didn't ask for her number. Wanted to. She did some of the same things in
sure.
conversing with him that she did with me. Yeah, I don't know many people. Yeah, I'm not that familiar
wish
with the
I knew
area.
More people. Your people.
He didn't ask. But here was his logic. I thought, well, maybe it was a packed house like it was when I was in there. Because I would have considered it if nobody was around. There were people around constantly. He said they were essentially the only people in there at the time. But his plan all along was to ask for the number when he paid. Because he thought it was inappropriate and unacceptable to ask.
Because if you ask in the middle of a haircut, and she's like, no, is this a good hair length? Like, you're right in the middle, like, oh, yeah, do we not finish the haircut now? Do I just leave?
Not only is that a terribly awkward rest of the haircut, but on top of that, and I think this is true, he's a good dude and he understands just general decency, she's got nowhere to go, really.
Right. Yeah, you're stuck there.
She is working, she's performing.
Mm-hmm.
To ask her while she's working is wrong. So he correctly, I think, calculated, I'm going to ask her when I pay at the end.
Mm-hmm.
When he went to pay, I don't know how many places you go to, but they kind of walk you up, and then there's someone that like works the desk.
Yep.
So there's someone sitting there, and there was a one-person audience, and now there are two girls there, and he thought it would be too weird and might embarrass her if he asked in front of the other girl. So he didn't ask. The only thing he could have done, he said, was basically follow her back over to her seat after she went back over to where she cut the hair to like sweep or whatever, and been like, hey, I hope this isn't over the top, but if you do ever want to grab coffee, just let me know. I'd be happy to give you my number or something. What my wife said he should do, which I think is brilliant, is to get a receipt, write his number on the receipt, and just hand it to her and say, hey, I put my number down. If you ever need someone to show you around or want to go out to lunch, let me know.
Think of that.
So I think that's very smart.
That's a good idea. But where do we go? But that's over now, right? I mean, that's it.
No.
Oh.
He's going to go get his hair cut again. His hair must grow really fast, because I think he's thinking about next week. Which in and of itself is a bit of an issue. But he's going to go get a second haircut from her and try to finish what he started.
Because I liked it so much. Or because I just feel like we need to take that much more off. Like, he's going to sit down, like, she's going to ask, what do you want? Your hair hasn't had that much chance to grow since I saw you 12 days ago.
So if he got his hair cut yesterday.
Yeah.
And then he goes next Friday. That is closing in on 2 weeks.
Oh, that's what we still have a whole weekend.
He's an every 2 week guy.
2 weeks. That's so little time between haircuts.
It is. What I told him to do is just wait in the parking lot till she went to her car and then run over and say, like, hey, hey, remember me? You cut my hair this morning. And just do it that way.
And what did he say to that?
He didn't want to do
it. He didn't want to do it that way.
I thought that would be hilarious.
What about like a
Can you imagine?
Yeah, what about like a
she leaves at the end of the night after a long shift and he had the day off, you know, so he just sat there waiting, like, hey, hey neighbor. You know, and he's just sitting there and she's like, what? And he's like, you cut my hair.
Don't be nervous.
I was your morning appointment.
Oh God.
You know, wouldn't that be fun?
Maybe
just, you know, you follow her home and you hop out right as she gets out.
Just see where she goes. What about like a big movie gesture, like a prom thing, like a say anything type deal where it's like you're out there with a boombox in front of the haircut place and like with a big sign, like, will you go out with me? Like big leap.
What's the Christmas movie everyone always talks about with the signs in the front yard? Love Actually. Where he just like drop, you cut my hair, and the sign drops like, it was a good time for me. Like, I really think the play is, here's the problem. You got to go back and get your hair cut again.
You got to go every week from now on, I guess.
No, you can't do that. But if you wait the requisite 6-7 weeks that it takes for your hair to grow out, there's a really good chance you waited too long.
Yeah.
This cat, she's going to be reeled in at some point.
If that's her set, I don't say set, but like if she's got kind of a formula of conversation, which she's now at least done it to a couple of folks. Someone's gonna do a turnaround and ask.
Someone's gonna take advantage of an opportunity that presents itself.
Yeah,
and I don't blame him. I mean, again, I don't think
it's
this
tough.
Was a shy issue. I think he did all the right things. The only thing he could have done better is a little more aggressiveness at the end there. But because here's the thing, and maybe a female will disagree, and if they do, I will defer to you because I'm not in your head. I've always kind of thought the difference between someone being creepy and someone who you want to date is just, what do they look like?
Yeah. And so everyone pretends it's not that, by the way.
Yeah. So if someone who is disheveled and gross and not attractive and, you know, looking slovenly asks you if you want to go to lunch while you're cutting their hair or whatever.
Like, God, I hate being harassed at work. It's so awful. I can't stand it.
It's unacceptable.
Tom Wilson walks in. It's like, isn't it so great?
But
it's
my
like, it's my meet cute.
A good-looking guy whose second home is the gym. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
He's a handsome fella. He's a successful guy. I don't think it's going to be nearly as problematic if he just says, do you want to get coffee? In my opinion.
Yeah.
I think that she will actually possibly... Like, if she says no, fine. That's fine.
But you still have your haircut.
But I don't think you have to worry about her being overly bothered. You get bothered when the person doing it, it's creepy if they're ugly.
Yeah, like when the slob rolls in, it's like, Bob, are you busy later? I won't take no for an answer. And they're like, I hate it.
Why is Milton asking?
Well, I'm never finding love. Even in the season of love.
I'll give you an update after haircut number two.
What happens first? He gets a date with her or you get your pizzas?
I've got an update on my pizzas.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'll give that out as soon as we return. We've got to give you Caps tickets if you're the 10th caller as soon as we come back ahead of the Blitz on G&D.